Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we got Pete from Scuba Board on the line to help kick off the show today, as well as Roz from the UK. So before, we get to Pete's stuff, ladies before gentlemen, or ladies before, well, I won't even go there. It's too easy. We're going to talk to Roz first. That's only fair, right, Pete, you think?
Oh, no. She's far more interesting than I am, that's for sure.
Well, she's traveling.
With her accent and all.
Well, at least electronically from a much farther distance. So, Roz, welcome to the big show. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Greg. And how are you doing?
I am good. So, you have been keeping very busy, I know, over there in the UK. And let's just talk about what's been going on with you in your neck of the woods. Some big tech conference or something was going on, wasn't it? Or what?
It's coming.
Oh, it's coming up.
Yes, it's coming in October, and tickets have gone on sale now for Eurotech, and it's all getting quite exciting, actually.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on, Roz. Now, I know that was coming up, but I thought you had just done a big event or something, didn't you? Because you're always doing things. Or did you just get back from doing some crazy diving from across the pond?
I've just got back from being in Germany at the Boot Show.
You go. See, that's what I was talking about. We'll get to Eurotech in here in just a bit. You're preparing for Eurotech, but that's not even till October. We got to get through Beneath the Sea before we get to that. So let's talk about what you've been doing, and then we'll move into the stuff into the future. Fair? That sound good?
That's very fair.
Okay.
I went to Germany, Greg, and I think that you would have enjoyed the Boot Show. Boot is boat in German, and the whole place takes over a massive convention center. It's a very beautiful building, and they've got everything from canoes to super yachts to canal boats to paddle boarding and motor yachts and ribs.
It's one of the largest shows in the world, isn't it, as far as just trade shows?
I think it's probably the biggest boat. I think it's the biggest water show in the world.
Yeah.
And they have a big hall devoted to diving. And it's really good. I mean, the way that they put it on, it's very exciting. There's a massive, great big dive tank in the middle, which is a couple of stories high. And you can see, the exhibitors get the chance to go in there. So, like GUE, they put on very precision diving in there, and you get this kind of very controlled, synchronized diving inside, which looks fascinating to watch.
No, wait a minute. Synchronized diving, like synchronized swimming, but
it's divers? A new Olympic event, Greg.
Is that? It sounds like it should be, if it's not already. These
I'll
folks.
Tell you
in
what you said. What? You set their tech. You set it to music, and it would be a beautiful underwater ballet.
Interesting. Okay.
Blue Danube. Is that what you're talking about?
Maybe. It sounds slightly disturbing to me, but regardless, they're a little ahead of the curve here in the UK sometimes. Maybe this could be something for us to explore. I will tell you that the Boot Show has been on my radar for some time. I've been wanting to go over there and see that event. Pete, have you ever done it for Scuba Board or no?
I've been to Moscow. I haven't been to Germany yet for the Boot Show.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll have to come over there and, jump over to Germany. I haven't been to Germany, so just going there would be a treat in itself. And then going to the show and drinking beer out of boots, that's part of the festivities as well. Am I right, Roz, or is that just me?
You drink beer out of steins, but yes.
But they're shaped like boots, aren't they?
Now they're shaped like big mugs. They're called steins, and I've got one. I've got a limited edition one from this.
I thought there was a stein shaped like a boot as well, but there would be a boat. But I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
I think it's just you, Greg.
Okay, I've been going to breweries, and they've been serving beers in giant boots. So I don't know. Maybe I thought that was something to do with the boot show, but probably not.
Perhaps it's an American thing, Greg.
It probably is. Somebody was confused, like me over here, and started drinking beer out of boots and thought it was a cool European thing, and we totally screwed it up big time. Anyway, those are some of the things you can do outside of the show. But the size of this tank, this is like an aquarium thing, so you can actually look in and watch the divers, or is it a pool type of deal?
It's a pool type deal, but it's a couple of stories high.
So what, they got like portals that you can watch in or something?
Yeah,
or?
You've got big windows in the side.
Nice, very nice. Okay, yeah, we ought to do that. We ought to have that at some of our shows.
Do they come equipped with screens?
Screens. What, you think they're just holes in the tank? Is that where you're going with that, Pete?
You got windows. Sometimes you have screens with those windows.
You know, cut him off. He's had one too many boots full of beer. You know what I'm saying there, Pete? Just stop while you're ahead.
Yes, sir.
But no, if we work something like that into the Beneath the Sea show in Jersey, that'd be a good thing, I think. Don't you think they could?
It would be phenomenal, Greg. Yeah. It really would be. Mm-hmm. It would be very exciting.
Well, maybe we'll have to go out there and do a little R&D or a little research. Maybe me and Pete can buddy up and head over to Germany next year for the boot show. You'd definitely recommend it, at least from your perspective. Is that right, Roz?
Yeah, absolutely. You get all the big players coming in. You get an awful lot of equipment being revealed. You get the big movers and shakers. It's a fantastic, vibrant, go-getting dive show. It's a very well put together event.
Yeah. Now you mentioned GUE or GUI. You know, they're a big technical diving organization, but I don't really see them represented that much at Beneath the Sea in Jersey. Is that just me, Pete, or what do you think?
You know, I think they choose to market on a guerrilla level here in the States.
Yeah, maybe. But they're just much bigger, have a bigger footprint maybe over in the UK. Is that right, Roz, or what?
They've got a pretty vibrant footprint over in the UK.
Yeah.
They've got a very good active community, positive community over here.
Okay. Well, maybe that's part of it. So, I mean, there is a slightly different vibe over there in the UK. Maybe they're focused a little bit more on technical diving than they are in the US, you think? Or no?
I don't know, but they very... the nice thing about... We have an event over here called Tech Camp in July.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the secrets that it works so well is that we get instructors come in from RAID, PADI, SSI, GUE, TDI. So we get all the major tech training agencies come in.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody works really well together. There is genuine friendship between the instructors. And so it makes for a very cohesive event, and there's benefits from learning from all of the agencies. So they play really nicely with everybody. And I don't know that always happens in some of the other countries.
Well, you know, I just wonder, and you know, I know technical diving is Roz's, you know, wheelhouse, and Pete's as well. I mean, Pete, you dabble in that industry more so than the recreational diving, I would say, somewhat, you think, maybe?
I would say that I'm more of a technical diver and then an instructor for open water than I am just an open water diver.
Now, from my perspective, though, over in the UK and events like the Boot Show or Eurotech and those kind of things, it does seem like they're a little bit more ahead of the curve in the technical diving world than we are in the U.S. Would you agree with that, Roz? Maybe?
Yes, yeah. Greg, I would. I'm honestly showing no disrespect to North America. I've got some really great friends over there, great colleagues over that side of the pond.
Present company excluded, I guess, though, right?
And I don't know whether it's because of the structure of our country, the fact that, you know, you can drive about 3 hours.
Yeah.
And you can be on the coast, and you can be in the water, and you can be sea diving. And we're surrounded by wrecks. We're a maritime nation. We've got treacherous coasts. We've got wrecks going back to the year dot. We've had a couple of world wars. We've got submarines and all sorts of things down there.
Well, it's technical diving out of the need of necessity, because that's what you have around you. Understood. Okay.
Yeah. Like she said, makes sense. It's treacherous.
Treacherous, yes, which would tend to be slightly technical.
You have to be disciplined. You have to do things in a particular manner if you're going to dive treacherous waters. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it.
Okay, committed, for sure.
And the British diving is great, but you really have got to be switched on in certain places, like the English Channel, because it's like the busiest waterway in the world, and you've got thundering great big tankers bearing down on you, so you have to dive in a certain way to be safe.
Okay, so Roz is basically saying that they're way better than us. I wouldn't expect anything less. And yeah, I'm putting words in her mouth as usual, and I'll continue to do so next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know Dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I'm a guppy, and I'm trying to mate with a dolphin.
You guys are bottom feeders. You're like those fish that swim into other fishes' mouths and eat bacteria off their teeth.
There's no such fish. You made that fish up.
Okay, it's an analogy. I'm not going to debate the existence of the literal fish with you because it's not relevant.
Well, good, because it doesn't exist.
That is a real fish.
God, it's getting hard to breathe this way. Everybody's life is on display. It's gotten out of control. Tell me, do you feel exposed? Well, welcome to the fishbowl.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg, the Dive Master. Got Pete from Scuba Board with me, as well as Roz from across the pond on Skype in the UK. And, you know, we're talking a little bit about the boot show that just happened in Germany. We'll get to Eurotech here in just a bit. But there's been a lot of stuff on your radar when it comes to technical diving and just diving in general or dive industry news. So what's out there for you that you're dealing with right now, Roz? You mentioned something about the Rolex diver winner. What was going on with that?
Yeah, Rolex Scholars. The R-World Underwater Rolex Scholars are just being announced.
Okay,
the first one's been announced.
In Chicago.
And I have to say, Greg,
yeah.
The North American Rolex Scholar that's just been announced, he sounds like he's going to be really interesting to follow. His name's Chris Milburn.
Okay. And why is that? What did he do?
Well, he's got a medical bent. He's interested in physiology and hyperbaric medicine and that kind of thing. And he's recently done some work in Mexico with the local fishermen there. They favor hooker diving. They favor...
Who doesn't favor hooker diving? Come on. Pete, are you with me on this?
I feel you, bro. I feel you.
Yeah. So please explain what type of diving are we... I'll let you explain it better than I should, because I have a feeling we'll get kicked off the air if I do. You hear what I'm saying, Roz?
Thanks, Greg. hooker diving. Right, hooker diving.
Oh, hookah! Hookah! Like H-O-O-K. Ah, right. Hookah.
H-H.
His mind is always in the gutter.
Yeah. Well, you know that accent thing. We have issues with it sometimes, and this was one prime example. Okay,
hey, what?
It's where the diver is effectively using a compressor on the surface, and they're having gas or air pumped down to them via an umbilical.
Right, hookah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm a fan of that type of diving too, just for the record. Okay, so hookah diving, surface-supplied air source, yeah, okay.
So, like, military and saturation commercial divers are quite picky about how they do this. They carefully maintain their equipment. They monitor the gas. They've got safety procedures in place.
Mm-hmm.
But the local population, they didn't have any understanding about decompression sickness. They didn't understand about carbon monoxide poisoning or anything like that. They basically were going and buying bog standard compressors that you use for powering a tool.
Yeah.
And then... they were getting sick. They were suffering from carbon monoxide poisoning.
Right.
So Chris designed a snorkel. He saw this was happening. So he went into his workshop. He designed a snorkel which would elevate the air intake away from the fumes. And it's drastically reduced the carbon monoxide poisoning. And he basically raised some funds. And there was a team from UCLA, and he went out to Yucatan, and they taught community leaders how to install these devices, measure how effective they're going to be, and they spread safe diving practices, and also, if a diver gets injured, how to give them oxygen. And this has been spreading across South America, and it's made a huge impact. So, Chris is 26.
Wow.
So this is quite, you know...
It's impressive,
It's impressive. So he's just about to start his Rolex scholarship year. You know, what's he going to achieve by the end of it? What's he going to do? I think he's going to be a fascinating guy to follow.
Yeah, as part of that program, you get to travel around the world for a year and go visit places and dive locations all around the world and learn from that operation. So some of those folks have become big players in the dive industry. So it's a great program, and sounds like he's well on his way to do some good works for the world, if not just the diving industry as a whole, right? And that's what it's all about. sharing the love and making us a little safer and having, you know, creating things that make us a little bit, you know, or make the underwater environment just that much more fun to enjoy. So hats off to him. That's good stuff. So have you already invited him over to the UK to dive with you or what?
I've already invited him to Eurotech, and I'm meeting him at Beneath the Sea. So, actually, we ought to hook up at Beneath the Sea, and I think we ought to go and interview him, actually.
Okay. Well, hook up is not the right term here in the U.S., but regardless, I hear what you're saying, and we will definitely get together, and we'll invite him to Scuba Radio. Maybe we, you know, that might be one of the little side trips. I've invited the Rolex winners to the studio in the past. Not one of them have come.
You know, Greg, it should be pointed out here that England and the United States are two countries separated by a common language.
Good point. Good point. And then we still managed to screw it up. So go figure. But we've actually talked to many of the Rolex winners. They're great folks. Obviously, it's a great program that they offer. And so, yeah, that'd be great. Well, let's get together Beneath the Sea, and we'll invite them to Orlando maybe for a little side trip and be on the radio show. Or maybe we'll just bring our little roving microphone and bring them on the radio that way. But the key is, when we do that, we want to show them what goes on behind the scenes, but not give them enough training where he could take over the controls here. You hear what I'm saying here, Roz? There can only be one of me. There you go. Yes, see, irreplaceable. Or God knows nobody would want to be me in that regard. But in regard, we'll leave that where it is. But you will take him under your wing and take him to Eurotech, which is once again going to be in October, right, Roz?
That's right.
So you're planning for that now, what, by setting up the speakers and some of the seminars for that big event, or what?
Well, Lee Bishop is the one who looks after the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I look after the exhibitors and the dinner and all sorts of exciting bits and pieces like that. But,
got it. And that'll be where exactly? Where will that
be? It's going to be in Birmingham in England.
Okay, all right.
I do know that Richie Kohler's coming to speak, and he's got a new book out.
Yeah, have you read it yet? Have you gotten your advanced copy?
I'm halfway through it, and it's fascinating because one of the people he talks about in there is a lady called Violet Jessop,
mm-hmm.
and she served on the three White Star liners. She served on Olympic, on Titanic, and on Britannic. She was quite a remarkable lady.
Yeah.
When I was working with Richie in 2006, we were working a Britannic expedition. They decided to do a reenactment, and they asked me to be Violet Jessop.
Ah, very nice. That was for the Shadow Diver show?
This was for History Channel, for a documentary about Titanic and Britannic.
Okay. You were the stand-in. You were playing her, huh?
Yeah.
Did you have a speaking role, or did you just kind of stroll around the deck and that kind of thing? What'd you do?
I actually had a seriously good go at trying to drown myself. I was wearing this. This is September in Greece,
mm-hmm.
and it's hot.
But you gave an award-winning performance, I have no doubt. But now I know Roz was an actor way before I made my debut in Sharknado 3.
Greg, it was a fantastic experience. Go and look it up for yourself and tell me.
Oh, I'm sure I'll give it two fins up. All right, Roz from the UK, thanks for the update. We got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Actually, who's joined me in the studio is our good friend CJ. Where is Bubble Boy, by the way?
Bubble Boy is visiting family in Georgia.
Are you sure about
his brother's up
there? You sure he's not campaigning? Yeah. I thought Bubble Boy was running for president.
Who is this Bubble Boy that he's talking about?
I forgot about that. The campaign. Is he still in the race?
I think, you know, there's a big thing, this Super Tuesday thing going on. So maybe he's out there campaigning. You think?
I should have wrote him in.
Maybe. Yeah, and you
Florida
could do that.
Florida votes Tuesday.
Scuba Radio's Bubble Boy. Feel free to write him in if you don't find another candidate you prefer. All right, so there you go. All right, so Pete from Scuba Board is with us, as you have just heard, with Roz from the UK. We've let her loose so she could go back and swim around that pond.
Unhooked her?
Yeah,
it's a long swim back, Greg.
Yeah, but if anybody can do it, she can. She has the skills and that kind of thing. But we've
you
also
can do it.
We brought in Jerry the Diver Guy to kind of fill those shoes.
What's going on, everybody?
Yepper, buddy. How are you?
Jerry.
Hey, spring has sprung. It's 75 degrees in the mountains, and that's starting to look green.
Very nice. All right. So also, Vinny Two Tanks is with us now. Vinny, how are you, buddy? Long time no chat.
Yeah, Greg, how are you?
It's
good
great.
To hear your voice.
Yeah, no, we got to talk to Vinny because he's just got back from the Philippines. So, I mean, we got a full crew here to continue on with today's, you know, virtual dive through the latest scuba news and information. And but first, we got to talk to Pete with Scuba Board in just a bit. Pete, are you ready to run down all these stories that we were talking about earlier in the week?
Sure.
Because, you know, he's been, tracking this stuff at scubaboard.com, and I think it's only appropriate that we steal some of that content and share it here on the big show today. So we're going to do that, talking about the Philippines. Richie Kohler, who, Roz mentioned earlier, he's planning to join us in hour two today to talk about his new book. So we got a show that is just chock full of good diving stuff. Stick around, just getting started right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Second floor, hardware, children's wear, ladies' lingerie. Oh, good morning, Mr. Tyler. Going down.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. What a way of going down. Or something like that. And since we're talking about diving, this is the place to be to do just that. And Pete from Scuba Board with us. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that, you know, they've been chatting about on scubaboard.com lately. And I guess, I don't know, what should we talk about first? Maybe, I guess let's talk about this world record dive under the ice. Did you see this from the Russian divers there, Pete, or no?
I did. I really didn't follow it that much, but they're certainly talking about it on Scuba Board.
Yeah.
Again, most of the people saying, what's with the world records? Why do we need another world record?
Well, you know, last week we were talking about this on the show, too. We talked to some folks that actually broke a shark diving record in the Bahamas. We spoke to them. And then some other folks broke attempting some other record. It escapes me at the moment.
Hit 1,000 feet or more last week or week before.
Yeah, right. That was it. And then these guys in Russia, two divers went down and claimed to have the deepest dive on an open circuit scuba, I believe, under ice, which was a little over 330 feet or something to that effect. Yeah, and, you know, I definitely see the appeal of divers wanting to get themselves in the record books, but I'm not so sure the deepest dive record thing is the way to go. As we've spoke to the dive god, and he still has the deepest air record dive, I believe. And they don't even recognize it anymore because it's just dangerous to do that on air. But I don't know about this ice diving thing. Do you know much about that? Or what are they saying on Scuba Board about it from your perspective?
You know, again, it's just the deepest things, most competent divers, most divers who have their head screwed on straight say, not for me. And I appreciate that. You know, the thing about the longest shark dive, that was kind of fun.
Right.
That's okay. You're not trying to put your body into a situation. We had last year the guy who did the longest dive
Correct.
Broke a record for that. That's okay. Mm-hmm. You're not putting your body in great physical harm if something goes wrong. But the deepest dives, you know, they're not really the deepest dives. They're only the deepest dives on a tank.
Well, okay, good point. Deepest dives with the hope of, you know, returning to the surface afterwards, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it is. It's just crazy dangerous in the sense that we don't really know what's going on with the body when you get down to, you know, when you're talking about these depths of 500 feet or beyond. It's crazy what happens to your body pressure-wise and all the mixed gas and technical stuff that goes in, into it. I'm not going to sit there and tell people don't do it. I mean, if that's...
I am.
Well, okay, but I'm just saying, if you get trained and you want to pursue that route, I think it's a personal responsibility thing. The problem, I think, for the dive industry as a community is when things go wrong, it reflects badly on the sport as a whole. And then we all have a tendency to take a little bit of a black eye in that regard. So I'm not a big fan in that regard. But, hey, look, if you want to do it, and if, you know, I'm not here to sit there and say you can't, I guess. You know what I mean? You follow me on this one, Pete?
And I agree with you, and it is personal responsibility. When I go into a cave, people say, I'm nuts. I get that. That's not your choice. You wouldn't make that choice. But you refer to training, and I think this is where the problem lies, is that there's no training below 300 feet or so. I don't know of any agency that has any training for deeper than that. After that, you're reinventing the wheel and sometimes dying at the wheel.
Yeah, yeah. I don't get the point of pushing that envelope because we know what happens. And we know it's, you know, it's not an exact science. Some person, you know, some people might be able to go down very deep and do that with no problem because of their, you know, body chemistry or whatever, or you're some kind of freak of nature like the dive god himself. I mean, he... You know, he claims on his deep air record that he did back in the 70s, which was like 437 feet on air, which is insane, that he's told this story before on the air that he actually had a near-death experience, that he thinks he actually stopped breathing at the depth, and he had one of those, you know, moments and stuff. You know, when he, at first, he didn't really know what was happening, but years later, when he was reflecting on the experience, he's like, and he started hearing other people have said they were having near-death experiences, he goes, you know what? I think I actually died. I probably quit breathing. My heart probably stopped beating because I did see a light and all this kind of stuff, and all the pain and everything went away, and then all of a sudden, I woke up and like, oh my gosh, this hurts. You know, as he got back to the surface. So
one of those facepalm moments, right? Where he hits himself with his hand, go, what the hell was I thinking?
Yeah, and you know what? At a depth like that, it's very possible. And you know, he says it was pure luck that he survived that record, and doesn't recommend anybody trying to follow in his fin kicks in that regard. However, you know, I do, once again, I see the appeal for people that want to get into the record books, but maybe, you know, doing things that are a little bit more safe, or like you said, longest dive maybe is not as extreme, or longest shark dive or something like that. But this deepest thing, that's where definitely the community, the diving community online especially, is very conflicted.
Against it.
Yes.
And here's a record. If you want to set a record, okay, be the person who consumes the most tanks over their lifetime. Okay,
that's a record. Tanks of beer, or what do you mean? What are we talking about?
Beer and air. Okay,
okay. Okay.
Not at the same time.
Well, I've got a good running on that one.
Yeah, I was going to say. Tanks might not be the right word. What is it? Barrels? What would be
kegs?
Proper?
Pints.
Kegs, pints. Okay. Yeah, mason jars in Jerry's case.
Gallons and that too.
Okay, maybe. Maybe indeed. All right. Well, that's one thing. World record dives. Actually, you know, it does come down to training. And one of the things I saw online this week, Pete, and I don't know if you saw this, but someone was railing about free diving and how people are going down and they're just going off and free diving by themselves. Now, back in the day when I first started scuba diving, you know, part of our skill set was to learn how to snorkel. to do a little bit, not, you know, not hardcore free diving like what we're reading
15,
about today.
15, 20 feet max.
Yeah, and you know, you breathe into the snorkel and you exhale on the way back up. It's a skill you learn in your open water class, and it's good stuff. Now, you want to take it a step beyond, you go into a free diving class. But one of the things we learned about, you know, just holding your breath, we don't do that as scuba divers. But you learn very quickly that when it comes to what you were doing in a kid, which was sinking to the bottom of a pool and holding your breath for as long as you could, and then seeing, you know, testing yourself and seeing how long you could hold your breath like that. Years later, we find out like how dangerous that is if you don't have somebody watching you, because if you push your body too far, you'll literally pass out and you could drown in your backyard pool. It's happened numerous, I mean, way more times than it should have over the years.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Preach on.
And, you know, the thing is, you learn this in your dive class, and, you know, this may be news to you, but, yeah, you should never be holding your breath underwater or playing that little game without someone watching you, or using the buddy system, which is what we rely on in scuba diving. Now, when it comes to free diving, it's the same thing. You know, if you haven't had that training to incorporate the buddy system in your diving, you may have not thought of like, hey, when I go snorkeling, I should have somebody watching me while I dive down, and you alternate because you can suffer a shallow water blackout, which basically you start to come back to the surface. About 10 feet from the surface, your body chemistry, depending on how long you pushed yourself underwater, if you've held your breath for a couple minutes or hyperventilated or all, and the carbon dioxide is built up in your bloodstream, you literally could pass out 10 feet from the surface and drown.
Greg,
yeah.
I have video of people passing out inches from the surface, just ready to break the surface, and they go limp.
Yeah.
And it's so obvious that it says, oh, my gosh, shallow water blackout. So always follow the rule, one up, one down.
Yeah, and that's what they were railing about, like, hey, people that are free diving, they don't know what they're doing. They're going out on vacation and diving down and seeing what they've seen on TV and saying, oh, I could do that. I can hold my breath. And they don't realize how much of a risk they may be taking. But then, and I totally agreed with them, but then they made a comment about using a snorkel while you free dive, which and they said, for God's sake, spit the snorkel out and don't use your snorkel when you're free diving. And I was like, wait a minute.
We had a nice discussion about this, didn't we?
Yeah. And I was like, that's a rule? I didn't know that was like, 101 free diving. I mean, you know, because once again, when we're in our open water class, we actually learn to free dive a little bit with a snorkel in our mouth. So we will talk about that next, because it kind of even caught me off guard. And we'll explain, and maybe you'll pick up a little nugget or two next. Stay close. Scuba
Radio. Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Do you have a compelling story of what inspired you to become a PADI diver or PADI professional? Has your PADI certification changed your life, relationship, or career in some unique way? The Professional Association of Diving Instructors wants to share your story to inspire others to start, keep, or teach diving. For more information, please visit PADI.com/my story. That's PADI.com/my story. And thanks for choosing PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi, this is Richie Kohler.
And I'm John Chatterton.
And you're listening to Scuba Radio.
Yowza. This is the world's first radio show dedicated to diving.
Come on, come on.
Dive at 5. That's when we go off the air, so that is the plan. We'll see if it all holds and report back next week on the big show. All right, so we're talking a little bit about free diving today. Snorkeling in a way. Extreme snorkeling? I don't know. Free diving is the cooler way to say it. Are you with me on this, Pete?
They don't charge for it.
Yeah.
Just tip your crew.
Yeah. So, you know, but the thing is, you don't hold your breath. You don't want to hyperventilate too much. You dive with a buddy, just like we do with scuba diving, because you can
well,
have...
Well, wait a minute. When you free dive, you do hold your breath.
Well, okay. Well, I mean,
you don't
yeah,
hold your breath
true.
When you scuba dive.
Yeah, I mixed it up slightly, didn't I? Well,
you did.
It'd be the first time. First time ever.
You know, you were talking, you were so weirded out by the fact that these people say spit... The snorkels here. I'm mixing it up too. Yeah. From your mouth, and there's two big reasons. First reason, CO2.
CO2.
You have dead air space. While you're swimming on the surface, you're not getting rid of all the CO2 you can.
Right.
You're sucking it back in.
Okay.
Second is that when you're coming up, the last thing you want to do when you're starving for air is to have a pharyngospasm, and that's when you get water onto your larynx, into your pharynx. So you don't want to have anything in there that you might actually suck water down your throat. You want to have your mouth open and clear, fresh air.
Got it. So just don't use a snorkel. Well, or if you use a snorkel, just spit it out when you're free diving. And when you come to the surface, break the
No more than three breaths before you dive.
Yeah. You don't want to, so you don't hyperventilate too much. Right.
Exactly. Three breaths is fine. Maximum. I personally blow out a little bit of the air before I descend down. I go down with like a half chest full of air rather than a full chest full of air because I don't have to fight the buoyancy as much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that works for me too.
It does work for you?
Yeah, a little bit.
How deep can you go down? Or
I don't
how many
know. I never
minutes?
Really... tried to go super deep, but
well, it's not so much depth as it is time, right, Pete? You think?
It's do what you need to do. The deepest I've ever been, we dropped a weight belt, and rather than get my tanks on, I swam down for the weight belt. It was probably in 60-ish.
Yeah, that's good.
And the thing that I messed up with is that I get down there, I'm buoyant as everything, I'm a fat guy, and I grab the weight belt, and I'm no longer buoyant. Now I've got to work myself back up to the surface as well. I almost dropped the weight belt. Nothing down there worth dying for, but I made it up.
Yeah. Well, I used to be able to do 40, 50 feet with no problem. You know, just pretty much go down and... go back, but I'm out of practice. I haven't been doing any free diving skills in quite some time, so I'd have to kind of get back
in. That seems deep to me.
Well, you know, I went through kind of two-thirds of a free diving class with Martin Stepanek, who's world record free diving champion. So I didn't get through the whole class because we got blown out on the last day. We were supposed to do our check dives and go out in the ocean, so I just did the pool and the static apnea stuff. And my only goal was to beat one of our mermaids. She got 305 holding her breath, and I got 308. And I was like, yes!
That's because of your ninja training.
Feel the burn.
Yes, exactly. And I did my victory dance, the whole thing. Upset her tremendously, scarred her for life. But that's just what I do, and that's how I, you know, that's the one thing I remember from that experience.
You know, and they say that scuba diving is not a competitive sport.
Exactly. Yes.
They used to say that about hot dog eating, too.
Yeah, true.
Now
look at it. Exactly.
And Nathan's made that bad.
What do you mean they made it bad? There's nothing wrong with it, is it?
Oh, have you ever watched those guys?
I have.
They make me sick when I watch them.
Small Japanese guy can pound the hot dogs big time. And, you know, I don't know if that's the same for free diving either. I mean, you know.
Is it okay to have a hot dog in your mouth when you
I don't think that's advisable. That would be quite a
trick.
In
your snorkel. Put it in your snorkel.
Yeah,
you got to bring a hot dog. Put it in your snorkel.
Do not do this at home.
Don't breathe through your snorkel, but you can use it as a
handy. We are trained professionals.
Most likely going to block your air.
Hot dog, repository.
I've got a
Well, actually, you use
snorkel.
It underwater as a missile because you build up all the pressure. You shoot it out, and you knock out the big fish you want to take up. And instead of using a spear gun, this is bloodless.
That is actually a pretty good idea.
Blunt force trauma.
Just stuff a hot dog in your snorkel, come up from a dive, and just blow it out.
Frozen one would be more dense. Maybe those Russians, when they dive under the ice, can jam a hot dog in there and just have it just in case.
Yeah. Well,
battling narwhals.
There's some ideas.
Frozen hot dogs.
You shouldn't listen to. Anyway,
deepest dive with a hot dog.
What?
Longest dive with a hot dog.
Longest, you think it'd be a record that Guinness would want to recognize?
Record. Made the longest hot dog with a dive.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, could happen. It could happen if somebody's listening is really bored and obviously is
under the influence. There's a marketing scheme for you, Greg. Scuba Radio hot dogs.
Okay, if you say so. All right. I'm thinking it's not really advisable, though.
And you could drive the Wienermobile.
Okay, now wait a minute. Now you got me.
See?
You got me interested.
I got you there.
Who wouldn't want to have, play with the Wienermobile?
Right. You're on your own on that one.
As he shares.
It's got tremendous thrust.
Jeez. I knew that was coming.
No All joke.
Right. And if you're behind, you can just catch up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Ain't getting any better, so we better end it now, at least for this hour. Richie Kohler going to join us in hour two. Vinny's going to tell us about his trip to the Philippines and much, much more in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.